Welcome to Revival for Mission. Can you imagine a city made up of more than 50,000 young people from all over the world? Today, we'll take a peek at the International Pathfinder Camporee in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It happens every 5 years. We'll also hear about how you can have a deep and meaningful relationship with Jesus through surrender. And of course, we'll address some of your questions. All this and much more right here on Revival for Mission. When I was a little fellow growing up in England, I was a pathfinder, but I couldn't imagine what it would be like to have 50,000 pathfinders all together in one place. It's like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. It's children with a mission. Today, we want to talk about the International Pathfinder Camporee. Pastor Wilson, you've been to that camporee. Tell me what it's like to see 50,000 young people committed to Jesus and committed to mission.
It's absolutely an amazing experience because you see these thousands of young people all congregated in one place. It's like an instant city. And each one has their own little camp area and all of that. And then they come together for big meetings. They have beautiful exhibits and displays. Everything is focused on being a real light and a missionary for Jesus, being revived for a mission. So it's an exciting thing. And in fact, I think at the very end, there were about 57,000 directors and young people there. It was an amazing event.
And I understand that these camporees, which is all of these pathfinders coming together, that many of those young people make a commitment to Jesus in baptism.
There were baptisms. It was an amazing experience because at that particular event where so many young people come, they are presented with the opportunity of truly giving their heart to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, and then being used in mission. And it's a high point in their lives.
Now, Pathfinders is more than just kind of a club. It's actually mission-focused, isn't it?
Very much so. Certainly, they learn all kinds of different ways to improve life. They earn certain honors, patches that they can wear, very practical things, you know, all kinds of things. But it is really spiritually driven. It is basically, as the name says, Pathfinder, helping young people find the pathway to eternal life and to the one who provides it, Jesus Christ.
And then I've heard they do projects like maybe go and help clean up someone's yard if there's an elderly person. They're not just thinking of themselves.
All kinds of things. Everything from marching and drilling and learning how to do practical things and things you'd expect young people to be excited about and involved with. They also want to be of real service. So they go out and they do all kinds of special things to help people know that they love them and care for them.
You know, it's exciting to realize this program's Revival for Mission, that it's not just for the adults, but it's for everyone.
Absolutely.
Well, tell me about this pin. You've got a very large pin on your lapel. Is that related to the International Pathfinder Camporee?
Absolutely. In fact, many young people look forward to this as a high point, one of the high points, where they can exchange pins that they have been able to manufacture or buy, you know, and have them done specifically for their club. And they exchange them with others from all over the country and, yes, even the world. Because really, this camporee in Oshkosh is an international one in so many ways. So people can share these pins. And the one that I shared, and it was exciting to be able to share them, and people gave them to me, you know, their own. This one is from the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists Presidential Office, and it says, use your talents for God, total member involvement. Now, the focus of this was the wonderful story about David, and it was chosen. You are chosen to be a special emissary for God. And so it says on there, Chosen Campari 2019. It was exciting to be able to share these and to receive those that others were giving to me. So, you know, even a pin can help you identify with being revived for mission.
I'm thinking there may be some parents or children or grandparents watching who are saying, that sounds like a great idea. We'll have to put that link up on our revivalformission.tv website because it sounds like it's changing lives. That's exciting. Well, share a spiritual thought with us today.
Today, I have a special message for my young friends. God has a special place in His heart for you, and He has wonderful plans for your life. He has blessed you with a good mind, with strength, creativity, and energy, and He wants you to be happy and healthy. And in His Word, the Bible, He tells us how to have the best life possible. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, we read the following. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, these words were written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and yet he was perhaps one of the saddest. How could that be? When Solomon inherited his father's throne, David's throne, to become Israel's king, he was humble. He prayed, Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. God was pleased with Solomon's request, and not only did he give him incredible wisdom, but also he blessed him with great riches and honor, promising Solomon that if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, then I will lengthen your days. Sadly, however, Solomon did not always follow God. Instead, he became proud of his great wealth, wisdom, and power. There was nothing that he could not have or do. Everything was in his grasp. But near the end of his life, he cried out, Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil in which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes. The sun rises and the sun goes down. All things are full of weariness. Now, in looking back over his life, it's no wonder that he, Solomon, counseled young people to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I want to encourage you, my young friends, to look to Jesus, to remember now your Creator and follow Him. He will bless you in ways that He knows are best.
What is Creation Sabbath? It's a global day of celebration when we as Bible-believing Christians come together and celebrate the joy that we share as a community of faith in worshiping our Creator God. Have you asked your pastor what your church is doing on Creation Sabbath?
Excited today to welcome a special guest to Revival for Mission, Michael Cant, someone who's been revived for mission. Michael, we're glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your life journey.
Well, I was born a Christian. I lived in a very good Christian home. I attended excellent Christian schools all my life. And yet, for most of my life, I lived a very impoverished spiritual life.
You mentioned that you felt like you failed to fall in love with Jesus.
Either I failed or I fell in love and then I lost it. But for most of my sincere Christian experience, I did not love Jesus. I found it difficult, for example, to spend time with him in prayer in the morning. And I know that prayer is the life of the soul. I know that Jesus could pray all night and enjoy it. But I found it difficult to pray for 5 minutes at a time. And I found myself looking for excuses to shorten or even skip my devotional time. And you know, if we say that we love somebody, but we find ourselves looking for opportunities to avoid them, we probably need to reevaluate that love relationship. Mm. That was certainly the case in my experience.
Mm. So Michael, this went on for a number of years.
Many years, yes.
And then something happened. What was it that happened?
I suddenly had this realization that I had been sincerely serving an almighty God all my life. And yet I was still suffering from the same besetting sins that I had started out with. In fact, not only had I not gotten victory over my original besetting sins, but I had picked up some new ones along the way. And so 30 years of sincerely following an almighty God, I felt like I was in some ways worse off than when I started. Hmm. And that's when I began to realize that there might be something wrong.
So what happened? Did you hear a message on Hope Channel, or did a friend talk to you? What happened?
I was visiting my mother. And I had this conversation with God first, and I blamed him because, you know, I've been sincere. I've tried. I wanted to be. I felt, most of my life, I felt like I was a better than average Christian. And yet, here I was realizing how spiritually impoverished I was. And so, for a while, I had a little bit of struggle. I had a spiritual desert experience. I kind of wasn't sure if God existed, and if he did, if he really was able to help me. I visited my mother at Wisconsin camp meeting one day, and we were sitting in the evening tent listening to the sermon. It was on surrender. And during that entire sermon, I began to think, is it possible? Is it possible that this is the thing that I've been missing? This is the key that I've been missing all of my entire Christian experience.
Understanding how to fully surrender to
understanding
God.
What surrender is, understanding how to surrender, how to know if I am surrendered, how to stay surrendered, all these basic questions. So I began to study the Bible to find out what does the Bible say about this thing that we hear a lot about, but we don't necessarily really understand well, surrender. In fact, one of my favorite authors says self-surrender is the substance of the teachings of Christ.
Mm. But why is surrender to Christ and to his will in your life and to understanding how he will directly guide you, why is that really so important? I mean, you know, can't you just kind of grab a little bit of religious experience and that'll kind of help you through? But the surrender business, what does that really mean?
Surrender is all or nothing. And that's what makes it so difficult sometimes. You know, I've heard somebody say, if God is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And it's so true. God is an almighty God, but because of our free will, he can't be almighty in us unless we let him. That's what surrender is. Surrender is simply getting out of God's way, letting the almighty God be almighty God in our lives.
But do you have to surrender everything?
Everything.
I mean, can't you hang on to a couple... You know, things that are precious to you.
That's what I thought. Most of my life, I thought that surrender was, you know, giving God many of my choices or even most of them. You know, we sing that song, most to Jesus I surrender. Is that not how it goes?
I think it's all to Jesus.
Oh, is it all to Jesus I surrender? And that was my basic misunderstanding. It wasn't until I began to realize that I needed to give God total control so that he could do everything that he wanted to do with all of his might and wisdom in my life. And that's when my life was transformed and I was converted.
So let's talk about some practical changes that happened. This program, Revival for Mission, is about kind of being brought to life or rejuvenated for mission. Mm-hmm. What practical changes happened after you said, I'm going to totally surrender my life to God?
Well, you know, when I started studying surrender, one of the things that Jesus talks about is counting the costs. Mm-hmm. Looking at your life and saying, what would happen? Just hypothetically speaking, what would happen if I gave God all my choices? You know, all of them. And as I looked at my choices, I began to realize that there were some things that I just really didn't want to get rid of. I didn't really want to give up. And through a process of weeks and months, God was able to work with me. There were some very obvious ones. For example, movies. I've always loved watching movies. Nothing more fun for me than after a day of hard work to sit down and watch a movie or three, right? But I always knew that Philippians 4, 8, you know, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, and it just didn't meet that standard. And so many
times.
Think
on these things, you know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I had tried to give God my movie choices, but, you know, my resolutions were like ropes of sand. I never succeeded. And so as I was studying surrender, I began to realize that I would have to give God all my choices, including this one. And that was one I traveled a lot and I could not imagine. I just could not imagine sitting on a plane for 8 or 9 or 14 hours in that little seat without watching movies. I just couldn't. It seemed like it would be impossible for me. And so I had some faith issues, but God was able to work through those. And so one morning, after weeks and months of God working with me, he finally got me to the place for the first time in my life. When I got up that morning, I said, Mike, now's the time. For the first time in my life, I was willing and able to say, okay, Lord, all my choices in every area of my life, all the time. And that's when my life was transformed.
You know, it's a beautiful prayer. And my wife put the music just to help me remember, but it says, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Mm. Make this your very first work. Right. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, not as partially yours, but as wholly yours.
Amen.
I lay all my plans at your feet. So that was a turning point for you.
Yep.
And how did that work out in other areas of your life?
So immediately after that, I began to enjoy prayer. I began to look forward to it. It was not something I just had to do. It was not something I just needed to do. It was something I really, really wanted to do. And I could pray for an hour and hardly notice the time going by. My whole prayer life was transformed. And it wasn't because of a new prayer technique or because of a prayer seminar. It was because finally the Holy Spirit was being allowed to do the work that he wanted to do in my life. And I began to get victory over those chosen sins in my life that I had struggled with all my life. I was finally getting victory. You know, there's a beautiful promise in James 4, 7. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life, I tried to start in the middle. I tried to resist without to submit. And the devil wasn't fleeing. The devil was just pounding away at me.
And right after that, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So it's like submit and draw nigh, and the problem with the devil is dealt with.
There's a very important order there.
Yes.
Has to start with that submission.
Now, Pastor Derek, I want to just go back to something that Mike was talking about. That beautiful verse, Philippians 4, 8. Whatever is lovely, whatever is good, true, honest, focus on those things. Now, some people might say, but from a practical standpoint, I mean, what's the matter with watching a good movie or the kind of music I listen to or even the kind of food I eat? Or the association I have, or where I go. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace, and we believe that.
Right.
But why is it so important then, when you're surrendering, to surrender to God in the areas that seem to captivate you, and what's the purpose in looking at things and listening to things and participating in things that will lift you up rather than neutralize you
or pull you
down?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it practical.
Yes, absolutely. Our relationship with Jesus is directly linked to our choices.
Oh, good point.
Have you ever tried to drink orange juice after eating something sweet? You know, usually orange juice is wonderful. It's a beautiful nectar. But try to eat something sweet first and then drink orange juice. It becomes sour. And that's the way it is with our Christian life. By our choices, we get to choose how sweet Jesus is to us. And by our choices, we can sour that relationship. And so most of my life, by my choices, I was doing things that was making it more difficult for me to enjoy my time with him.
Perfect.
Making
it
difficult for me to enjoy my Bible study. After watching a movie, reading and studying the Bible was impossible. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, you had a career in computer science. You've traveled apparently around the world, but this full surrender to God has brought some revival even in your work activities.
God immediately after that directed me to the university where I've been working for the last 10 years and the ability to work with my students and to share with them these surrender ideas in the class, in the classroom and through the curriculum. And then now he's led me to a full-time ministry at Adventist World Radio. And I am so excited to be able to work on the front lines using some of those technical skills and that surrender relationship with Jesus to actually bless people around the world.
And, you know, I'm so thankful, Pastor Wilson. I had the privilege of teaching at Southern Adventist University that we have Seventh-day Adventist universities where you can speak about full surrender to God.
Amen.
And you can speak and pray with your students.
Yes.
That was a blessing, I'm sure. But now you're, can I say, on the front line of mission.
Seems like more on the front line, and especially in certain areas of evangelism. It's really exciting.
Now, you've written a book recently. Tell us a little bit about the book, how it's going to impact people's lives. What's it all about?
So as I began to understand surrender a little bit better and become converted and realizing how important surrender is, if self-surrender is the substance of the teachings of Christ, then what should be the substance of our teaching? What should be the thing that we want to learn? And what would the devil not want us to learn about, right? And so I began to study surrender, and I began to try to answer some of these practical questions about how it really looks, how it works in the Christian life. And this book is a culmination of some of the things that I've learned. And my prayer is that people will be able to get a better picture of how the Christian life works in practical ways so that their life can be so much more abundant and free in Jesus.
We'll put some information up at the end at revivalformission.tv. But let me just ask you, maybe someone's watching, Michael, and they're saying, I need to be revived like Michael's been revived. In fact, your testimony of lack of spiritual power and victory sounds like my story. What would you say to that person who's watching today?
Surrender is conceptually easy. You go to Jesus and you say, Lord, I know I need to surrender. I want to surrender, but I'm not willing to give you all my choices. And it's okay to tell God that because he already knows, right? You say, Lord, I need to surrender that choice, but I'm just not willing to give it up. And then you can say, Lord, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. Mm-hmm. Because of our power of choice, we can always say that. Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing. And it's God, Paul tells us, that works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. If we continually pray that prayer, Lord, make me willing, he will answer that prayer. He will get us to the point where we can full surrender every aspect of our life all the time.
Now, the title of the book is Delighting in the Almighty.
Delighting in the Almighty, a practical guide to primitive godliness.
Yeah.
And that's what Revival for Mission is about.
That's right.
To me, I'm hearing someone who's been revived for mission.
Absolutely. Amen.
Because that's been your testimony. Yeah. And perhaps as you've been watching us today on Revival for Mission, you're saying, that's not only a powerful testimony from Michael, but I'd like to experience that in my own life. Well, we'd like to invite you to go to our website, revivalformission.tv. You can get a link to find out about delighting in the Almighty. There's more resources about what it means to surrender your life fully to God. Pastor Wilson, I've been excited by the testimony today.
I mean, Michael just exudes this surrender, and I praise God for that.
And I want to invite you again to learn more about Revival for Mission and about Michael's testimony. Go to our website, revivalformission.tv, and be revived so that you can go out and be a blessing to others.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission, and thank you for the questions you're sending in, revivalformission.tv. Here's one, Pastor Wilson, I think relates to this 50,000 young people who may be thinking about courting and long-term relationships. Someone asks, is it okay for a Christian to date a non-Christian as long as they love each other?
That's a great question and an important question, and it's a very personal and serious one. But, you know, people have to be compatible in their personalities. That's important. They have to have certain directions that are compatible and work together, but the most important one is your relationship with the Lord. And if the one that you're dating is not really in tune with the Lord, you're not going to be in tune for the rest of your life unless there's a change that takes place in that one person. Now, you can wait and try and see if that change will take place, but the best thing is to start out in a relationship where people both love the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about being unequally yoked together. Now, that can be also in business. It can be in relationships. It definitely is in a marriage, because in a marriage or in courting or dating, it's so important that both people have Christ at the very center of the relationship. And that will help you in so many ways as you get to know each other. But the Lord really wants us not to be connected in such a close way with unbelievers. For it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Mm-hmm. Well, there are probably other biblical examples we can give, but to be connected in an equal way, focusing upon Christ, is really the ideal.
I was reading about Ahab, and it said his wife Jezebel enticed him to evil. So you're talking about the exact opposite, where friends draw us closer to God.
Absolutely.
Got time for a short question about fasting. What does the Bible teach about fasting? Is it a good thing?
It is a good thing to help us to focus our attention on something very spiritual and important. You don't want to fast all the time because you need food. It's important to eat. It's important to eat right and to eat the right kinds of food. But you can go on different kinds of fasts. You can go on a media fast, stay away from media, stay away from your telephone. Now, that'd be pretty difficult for some of us. You can go on a juice fast. Mm-hmm. The main purpose with a fast in terms of physically taking food or water or not, in terms of the fast, is to help focus your mind on a spiritual subject. Mm. Now, the Bible says, Jesus himself said in Matthew 6, that when you do fast, don't fast like the hypocrites, and they look sad, and they're really trying to help people know that I'm fasting, you know, and I'm really trying to earn some points in heaven. Don't do that. He said, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. It's for you and your connection with the Lord.
Yes.
And to be able to focus your attention on spiritual things. So the Bible can help us to understand better what fasting is. And then after you fast, eat some good food.
Share a closing thought with us.
Friends, I'm so glad you've joined us today on Revival for a Mission. I hope you've been inspired to draw closer to God by fully surrendering to Him and allowing Him to work through you in bringing hope and encouragement to others. The Lord has wonderful plans for each of us. And whether we are young or perhaps not so young, it's always wise to remember our Creator and to follow Him. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on Revival for Mission.